My name is Joey Phillips. I'm the pastor here at Goodview Baptist Church. And on behalf of the family, I know they want to thank you for coming and all the acts of kindness that you've done to share during this very difficult time in their life. And I know you've come to remember Ryan and his love he had for the Lord and his love that he had for you. I don't know where all of you are from today. I know people have come from West Virginia, family from there, and others from North Carolina, and coaches come in, some from Texas. And I don't know if Sarah made it in. Her and her husband were driving here from Washington State, and Daniel from New Zealand. And it would have been easy to call it in. Hey, we wish we could be there, but we want you to know we're praying for you. Everybody would have understood that. But you're here because you're one to honor his life. Some of you may have known Ryan real well. Some of you may know the family. But your hearts have been touched and challenged, and thank you for your prayers. People here from Lynn Haven Baptist Church, where the Chambers went for many years. Probably some here from the church in North Carolina where Ryan attended when he was in school. People from our church. People that played ball with him. I told his coach a while ago that we were hoping when he came back from Piedmont, he'd have a desire to live for the Lord even more. But we also, I was hoping he'd change that ugly looking shot he had. And he never did. That's the ugliest looking thing. He would shoot you. There's just no way that's going to go in. But it did. In my face many times. People that knew him from the soccer field, whether he played or coached or reffed, from the Lions Club. I'm sure there are many here that were students with him at Staten River High School, faculty and staff and students and ball players that was on his team at Piedmont International University. Facebook friends, people that are here today that are good friends of Jenna and her family that probably thought you'd never find Goodview. We're out in nowhere land, I know that. But thank you for your prayers. And thank you for the many acts of kindness that you've done. It does not take away the grief of a family. But it has been a tremendous help. The outpouring of love. And so our purpose today is to honor Ryan's life. Also, our desire is to give hope and encouragement and comfort to the family. Because we find that in Scripture. And God promises that he'll never leave us or forsake us. And he comforts those who need comforting. And I know he's been doing that. And that's a process that'll go on, not just for the next few days, but weeks and months and years. I want to open the service in prayer. And then after I pray, Chris McCarty, who is the owner of Grand Rental Station in Vinton, who Ryan worked for, is going to come and share some thoughts about Ryan's life. So will you join me in prayer? Father, thank you for loving us. And for us, this is a day that we had no idea was coming, especially this soon. But for you, you have already prepared hearts and minds and thoughts to help us in our dark days. At times, there seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. All kinds of thoughts come in our minds, and many of them are very legitimate. But you help us to process those and put things in perspective, and that takes time. I pray for Otis and Michelle and Cassidy, for Jenna and their families, that you'll just put your arm around them and in the midst of their pain, that you'd give them a peace that passes all understanding. We commit this service into your hands. And may our hearts be open to what you want us to hear and what you want us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon. Wanted to start out with just a little scripture here. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Ryan lived by those words. I really believe that he's with the Lord, rejoicing with the Lord right now. And I remember the first time that I met Ryan. He came in and we talked. And after that discussion, Debbie, the lady works in the store there, I said, "I think we're going to be all right here." I said, this fellow's got a good heart, I believe. And I said, "He's honest." And I said, "We can work with that." I said, "That's something that we can build on." And that's Ryan. Over the time, not only was he just an employee, he became a friend. Sabrina and myself, we moved about a year ago. Ryan was there. He was always there to help move in the rain. He was one of the true friends, he would come and help us do that. So he did that. And then during our time at the store, he would greet the customers. And in turn, they would greet him back. And they would say, "How are you doing?" And his response would always be, "Better than I deserve." That was Ryan. He was humble. He always wanted something that was better for you than it was for him. That's the way he lived his life. And of course, I'm in the Lions Club. I'm here representing the members and him being in the club with us today too. But I'm a recruiter. I would recruit people. And I told Ryan, I said, "How would you like to join the Lions Club?" And Ryan said, "Sure." And as soon as he went to the first meeting and found out we serve people, he immediately joined. That's our motto in the Lions Club: we serve. And Ryan, he enjoyed serving. He did the spaghetti supper with us, pancake breakfast, White Cane. Basically, White Cane is where you raise money for our eyesight program. And he loved doing that, talking to people. And some of his favorite events he did, we had a person that was in our community that was visually impaired, and we would take this person to meetings, support meetings. Ryan did that. He was serving. The other big thing that we did and he really enjoyed was our shopping for the needy families. We would take children from the elementary schools. And Jenna was able to come this year, and it was so special. We take the kids around and shop with them, and it's a special time. Ryan enjoyed that. That was what he enjoyed doing. So he was always serving his community, serving the Lord. One of the biggest things was seeing with the children is I know he would always come down here and play basketball. I think it was Monday nights. Wednesday nights, he would come down and work with the youth. That's what Ryan did. He was a special person, and we'll really miss him. I will say that I think my wife, Sabrina, said it best this week. What we need to do going forward is strive to live our lives more like Ryan. For the Lord, for others, to serve And I think that's what he would have wanted. And I can always remember, and I'll remember it the rest of my life, is his laugh, that high-pitched laugh. The last time that we went to, we go to McDonald's on Monday mornings and get breakfast. And I could hear Ryan laughing about something all the way from the parking lot of McDonald's back to the rental store. So that's the memories I would keep of him. But I just want to say I was a pleasure to get to know him, and I loved him. And I just pray for the family. Thank you.
He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh, loves us. Oh, how he loves.
A part of our church, 6 or 7 years, I'm not sure exactly how long you've been here, but what did I say? Ryan, brother, forgive me, Brandon. A few years ago, we asked him if he would come on as our children's pastor. It was evident he had a love for the Lord and love for this church and love for the kids. And he and his wife, Leandra, have been just dear friends of Ryan, co-workers in ministry, just so much. And I think you work with he and Jenna this summer when they were thinking about ministry and thinking about missions field and so forth. And I'm going to ask Brandon Willis to come at this time and share.
Good afternoon, everyone. In honor of Ryan, I have paper because I'm going to blame him for whatever that I had planned saying anyways. He would probably say I'm ignorant for this anyways and that we should just be shooting off fireworks right now instead of worrying about the exact words I'm about to say. But to start off the celebration of Ryan Chambers' life, I wanted to first acknowledge that I was not blessed to know Ryan as early or as long as some of you have. Each one of us either have at least one fond memory of Ryan that they would love to tell at this moment, and many of you have been through much more than I have. So to be able to tell you just a small glimpse of the joy that Ryan brought personally to my life, as well as my wife, Leandra's, it's a true honor today. Chambers was one full of laughter, full of love. It was an encouragement to me in days that I needed it, but didn't necessarily ask for it. So today, I'm going to try to briefly encapsulate all of these things to bring a little encouragement to you all. I started to come to Give You Baptist Church in 2011, and I really didn't get to know Ryan until he played basketball at my house. The youth were having their first Sunday gathering there at my parents' house, so everyone came down, and as fate would have it, I would end up going up against Chambers a lot that day, and didn't know his name at the time, and of course, we ended up guarding each other a lot. So when the first time I was on him and he shot the ball, I gotta be honest, I almost laughed. I gotta say, no way. I was like, you can have it. Swoosh. I was like, okay, it's just luck. All right. Next time he comes down, swoosh. I'm like, all right, maybe I should start guarding him a little bit. He barely crosses half court. He's feeling pretty confident now. Chucks it. Didn't go in. But man, it was a sight to see. If you've never seen the shot, it's already been mentioned once by Joey. You would think that something hot had landed in his lap and that the quickest way to remove it with a bowling ball from your hip, that's a good description of it. The only thing that could irritate you more when playing basketball with him is if he hit his signature fading out of bounds corner three-pointer shot on you. And if he did, do not make eye contact. Most of you know what I'm talking about. It's almost like a deer in the headlights look, and he's waiting for you to respond. Do not do it. As what's already been brought up to you again is Chambers' laugh. It could be heard across the room. If you never heard it before, it could be confused for a dog whistle. Well, you only need to hear his laugh once, and if you ever heard it, you know exactly who it is. You cannot replicate it. You can try, but you cannot replicate it. I'm going to be a little selfish and just quickly talk about our first trip together. We were going to King's Dominion to hear the music at King's Fest and, of course, enjoy the rides there. And it was Ryan, myself, Leandra, and a young lady named Haley Heck. From that trip, there are three things that I learned that most of you know today, and if you don't, you're going to quickly learn. Number one, Leandra and Ryan were a packaged duo. They were not sold separately. If I was to try to befriend one of them, I would undoubtedly have to get close to the other. Even with her being a youth leader, knowing there had been some age difference, at first glance, they seemed like best friends, and they were. I will bring up the day I asked Leandra to marry me, just an example of where Ryan fell on the totem pole. I asked Leandra's grandfather a week before. I asked Leandra's mom, let her know that I was doing it the day of, because she would tell everyone. And as I'm driving to Tech, literally an hour before I'm popping the question, I call Ryan Chambers. When I did, though, I was thinking he was going to be mad at me because I waited to the last minute to let him know. And instead, he just shouted, you know, that laugh at first. Why did it take you so long to marry this special woman? Number two from this trip was that only God's appointed hand could wake that man up from his sleep. On this trip, this very trip to King's Fest, we had left that morning from Hillary's house where we were staying to get things together and get them breakfast for Haley and Ryan. We thought it would be wise to make Haley in charge of making sure everyone was awake and ready to go by the time we got back. Text started to roll in on Leandra's phone. Haley was up. Chambers was not. She tried talking to him. Physical violence was the next step. No luck. You could almost see the frustration on Haley's face just in reading the text message. Her final reply was, I give up. When we arrived, we found Haley sitting on the floor with her head on the couch, right where Ryan Chambers was sleeping. Number three would be the nicknames that we would give each other from this trip. He gave me BB. That would be my appointment nickname. It's an acronym, and if unfortunately you don't know, I'm sorry, I'm not going to tell you. Shortly after that, I would give him the nickname M8B, which again, it's an acronym, and if you don't know, I'm sorry, I'm not going to tell you. I could go on and on about these memories, from him being a groomsman at my own wedding, to the 3-on-3 basketball tournament ones that we had, to the simple fact that this man would compete in anything, and I mean anything, FIFA, basketball, soccer, ping pong, dodgeball, foursquare, any board or card game. Who had the best sock game? The man loved his socks. Even who had the most impressive speeding ticket from the same state trooper on that same very day. Yours truly. He was a competitor, and you were with him. He expected your best, no less. Many of the youth and young adults here today have been involved in some type of debate or discussion on just about anything. From the simple statement alone, I can now rhetorically ask if everyone could easily in here get along with Chambers. The answer is, of course not. Whether if it was something simple as to the Virginia Tech versus UVA debate, whether it progressed into if cheerleading was a sport or not. My brother was famous for starting this argument, and I've never heard Chambers call my brother ignorant so many times in my life. It could also progress into philosophy or even theology, as later in college I would bring to him the 5 points of Calvinism. And if you have to pick one to believe, which one would you choose and why? If you're wondering what I'm even talking about, that's okay. We don't have enough time today to discuss that. And if you do know what I'm saying, all I will say is tulip, and you'll know exactly what we're talking about. The fact of the matter is, though, if you dove into his life, listened with an unbiased ear, and sacrificed your own selfish intuition, you saw how loving and caring his heart was. He matured in discussions with fellow teens, fellow adults, and fellow loving friends would become easier, at least slightly. He would listen. He might not agree, but he would listen. In these discussions, I remember him and Quentin Ayers using the phrase eventually, well, what does the Bible say about that? This was a great way to diffuse any heated opinions or allow the participant in this argument to realize that they were not coming from their feelings or any tricky angle. They were coming from the Word of God. Chambers often would randomly send me a verse at just the right time to encourage me. It would start off by either saying, I figured you would need this, or just in case you're stuck in traffic on 81, here's something to read. So today, Chambers, to encourage others like you have encouraged me all these years, I have to ask, what does the Bible say? Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Like a rock dropped into a pond, Ryan has made an impact on countless lives. The family and friends who were close to him, who went through the highs and lows, who loved him, felt the biggest splash from that rock. There's no doubt his impact on us is noticeable. What's been revealed to us even this week, and maybe something we might not completely understand or grasp until the day I tackle him in heaven, is the total impact Ryan had on this world. The ripples and waves keep extending out to the edges of the pond, and eventually it gets to the point where we can't even see the waves anymore. The driving force that kept and continues to keep pushing his impact to the edges of the world was his heart, and his heart was full with the love and his one true Savior, and that was Jesus Christ. To Otis, Michelle, Cassidy, and the rest of the Chambers family, I want to say thank you. Thank you for sharing this wonderful human being with the rest of the world. Thank you for showing up, not just what true love is, but showing him how to love. Thank you for molding him into the man that he was and forever will be in our hearts. Thank you for establishing discipline and allowing biblical truth to be the crutch he can lean on when things got tough. I love you all, and you should be proud. To Jenna, oh my goodness, you are a godsend. You are a blessing to many people, and you are the one who tamed the bull that was Ryan Chambers. Ryan loves you more than anything on this earth, no question. The strength, love, and faith that you had in him was evident. It evolved into a whole new man before our eyes. He demonstrated selfless love, not just to you, but that love trickled down into lives into many youth and even children here in Goodview. And even now, through fundraisers that both have been started through you as well as him, is raising thousands of dollars through UNICEF to be a light to children around the world. Jenna, thank you for loving Ryan. And I will never forget your impact on his life as well as many others. To his friends, his classmates, teammates, everyone else that's in here that I've met or have yet to meet, that are also mourning and questioning things right now, I also thank you. Many of you have many experiences that also molded Ryan into the person he was. And it also challenged him to become better than he already was. For some, you were blessed to go outside of the States with him throughout the years. Guatemala, Japan, Mexico, Uganda, Spain, Europe. I urge you to hold on to these memories and cherish them. To his Wednesday night boys, who he taught and spent so much time with, thank you. You all know Chambers wasn't normal. And you know what? We wouldn't want it any other way. I challenge you, though, what was the ultimate thing that brought Chambers into your life? What message did he want you to hear and wanted to deliver? Jesus loves you all. He so loves you. Take a step of faith into the gift he has given to you. And you want to make a difference in the world, you got to be a little different from the world. For me personally, I don't know if I'll ever get used to you not being here, Chambers. You're such a great friend to me. I've searched the dictionary and can't find the word or the description for how I feel. I've searched the Bible, though, and it has strengthened me. Am I happy right now? No. There is joy, though, and there is a peace that Ryan is experiencing God right now. And for that, Ryan, I am jealous of you, and no one can take that away from him right now. You may have claimed me to be your best man this upcoming September, but you, Ryan Otis Chambers, my MAB, you will forever be the better man. As your dad has stated to me and to numerous people this week, this is not good, bad. This is, I'll see you soon. I love you, man.
Lord, I come. I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, your grace is more, the grace is found, is where you are, Lord, I am free, holiness is Christ in me.
And Michelle and Ryan and Cassidy began coming to Goodview in 2005, about 13 years ago. Ryan was 11, skinny as a rail, and he didn't change much, he just got a little taller. And Chris Walker is our associate pastor, our youth pastor at that time, and has watched Ryan grow up and be used of the Lord in many ways. And so he's going to come and just share some thoughts about Ryan as well.
Family and friends and extended loved ones, it's an honor to share with you. I got to be Ryan's youth pastor along with Daniel. So I actually got to be Ryan's youth pastor twice. So me, then Daniel, then me again, and known as a young teenager, and to see him mature into a young man of God. I've got some memories as well. One thing that Ryan and I disagreed on, well, more than one thing probably, but he said that Forrest Gump was a better movie than A Few Good Men. And I don't know how he could say that or why he would say that. And then he even got one of our missionaries to agree with him. And that, like, fueled the fire. So, but that movie comes up, and because I remember watching him in one of his soccer matches his senior year of high school. And he wasn't the captain, but you could tell he was in charge in the field. And remind me of that quote from that movie when it says, you don't have to have a badge on your arm to have honor. And so Ryan and I still think Forrest Gump is a horrible movie. I remember watching him at his senior game at Piedmont. Coach Howard let him play that night. And all of his teammates kept wanting him to shoot the ball, and he kept wanting to pass the ball and make them better. But he threw up a couple of his patented, as Brandon would say, falling out of bounds shots. And if one of those had gone in, it would have probably erupted into a lot more fanfare. He did have a lot of fun that night. Every once in a while, Ryan would invite me to watch Tech play basketball. I'm not a Tech fan, sorry if you are, and so I'm a Duke fan. And so every time we would go to watch Tech and Duke, Tech would lose. The one time he invited me to go that Tech actually won, I couldn't make that trip. I was stuck out of the country, and he had to go with someone else, and so he couldn't. But I knew if I had gone, I would have heard it the whole way home. But nonetheless, I went to 2 Duke games with him and 1 UVA game, and I found these stubs in my office today, and I made him sign the back of them when they lost. So it says 75-60, we lost, Ryan Chambers. That was a Duke game. He wanted to leave early, but we said, no, we're staying for the whole game. And then we watched, one time went with his dad and Colby, and we watched him play UVA, and UVA won 61-59, and he had to sign the score and his name on the back of that one as well. He didn't keep asking me to go to games with him for some reason. That's not why. We talked about Ryan being competitive, right? So we're at the beach, and we're playing doubles ping pong, and Ryan teams up with Brandon, the ultimate duo here, and all I could find was Quentin to play with me. And Quentin, I love you, but you weren't very good back then. Quentin will kill me now, but he wasn't good back then. And so we started playing, and somehow we started winning, and we won, and we couldn't believe it. And Ryan's like, let's do a rematch. And we're like, no, it's time for dinner, man. We got to go. Let's do a rematch. And so, no. So that was out of the question. He says, well, you play me one-on-one then. No, we're out of here. There was no way I was going to play him again that day. I was just going to let us have the victory dance, not him. Brandon alluded to our 3-on-3 tournaments. And every year we have a lock-in. And somehow Brandon, Ryan, and Ryan would be in one team. And then it would be me and another youth pastor friend of mine and another guy, another team. And every year we'd be at the opposite end of the brackets because we knew that we had the two best teams that we usually meet in the championship game. And so one year we were playing, and Ryan was wearing me out with his stupid shot, and he was just killing me. And so my buddy Phillips says, hey, let me take him. And so he got in front of him, and Ryan's like 6 feet behind the three-point line, and he just shoots it. And my friend's like, I can't do anything. And so we made it close, but they still won. And so eventually had to break that team up so they wouldn't keep winning. He came back from school, and he wanted to teach some lessons to our Sunday night youth on biblical interpretation. And it was probably a little bit above their heads, something they really needed to hear. And he started teaching. He goes, hey, here's all my notes from class. I'll give them all to you. And he gives me this huge PowerPoint file, and he puts it on my computer. And myself and Ryan, one of my youth leaders, Ryan Willis, we just said, you need to teach this. I mean, you're fresh. This is your passion. And so we want, you know, he had to teach that. We wanted him to do it. I don't know how much we kept doing after that, but we did a little bit. You know, as you look back in the past couple of days of your life and you think what happened just you know, where we were a week ago maybe. Friday, December 21st, he was at my house. We had a Christmas party. He came over, and we decided to set off fireworks. And so Ryan and I went outside, and we said, we'll do some tests first before we invite everybody out to watch us. We'll see what we got here. And the first firework that Ryan did, he loaded in an upside down. And it was one of those three-shot ones. And so when the first shot hit, boom, it blew the canister over, messed it up. And then the next two fired the sides. And so at the time, I told him, nobody has to know about this, but now you guys know about this. after that, it was just a little bit windy. We couldn't get anything else to light hardly. And so he had brought a big roll of black cats, and we had rolled them out in the yard. And Kevin Fison, you know, he did that one time with our house, and we were just going to set them off, but we couldn't get it to light because it was just so windy outside. So we put them back away again. Before we left, we were talking about one of the youth that had some problems going on in their life, and then he was kind of like, "Well, do they need anything?" And I don't know. What about this other boy? And he didn't name him, but he described him. And I knew he was talking about. And he says, "You know, a lot of times he wears the same clothes. Does he need something?" And I said, "You know," I said something like, "I don't know," or something like that. And he says, "Well, let me know if he needs something." And that was Ryan's heart. He told me, he said, "I can come help Christmas Eve service if you need any help. Just let me, you know." Then he went to see Jenna for a couple days, and then on Christmas Eve, I texted him, and he came early and helped prepare for the service, helped put candles in the holders and stuff, and something he did most Christmas Eves around here. And I talked to him about our youth Sunday coming up in June. And I said, can you open up with like a small mini sermon, you know, 5 to 7 minutes? And we talked about that night. And a sermon won't happen. But I think we can draw a sermon from a life that was well-lived. Hebrews 11:4 says this, "And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. A person of faith still speaks to us through the fruit of their lives, through their walk of faith. They still speak to us." And what I've seen is an outpouring of love from you guys that says this, that Ryan loved well, right? You don't pack a house with somebody who doesn't love well. And what I've seen is that I didn't know the scope nor the depth of his reach, but it was deep. He touched your life. He talked to you. He showed up. He was there for you. He did things for you. He matured into a man who could disagree with you but still love you. A life well lived. What was it about Ryan? First of all, he was bold. Mission trips to 5 continents, wanting to reach the unreached, fighting with medical issues most of his life. Philippians 1:21 says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And that was Ryan's life. Uganda 2010 was where he felt called to missions. He told his parents, "I feel called to go." And his dad and mom made sure he got there. But then while he was there, he felt called to missions. A life well lived. He loved well. Who in here has felt loved by Ryan? Anybody? Anybody else? John 13 says this, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." He was an important part of this church. Spent a lot of time on this floor right here. Whether in high school, after youth meetings, playing basketball, whether coming back and running basketball, whether hanging out, he spent a lot of time here. He loved well. A life well lived. Humility. Never saw Ryan brag about his service. He was a behind the scenes kind of guy. He didn't advertise it. He just did it. He loved well. And we're just now finding out some of the things that he did. He just was deciding on with Jenna that, "Hey, when we get married, let's go serve at an orphanage." And eventually even beyond that into missions. Humility. He was trying to find out where to serve. A life well lived. He was bold and he loved well and humility and he enjoyed life. John 10:10, "I've come that you might have life to the full, life more abundantly." He enjoyed life. The Celtics were a topic for us. Boston was a topic of us a lot. The audacious laugh that cannot be mimicked. You know, last summer as we were driving down the road with my son said, "Well, how much longer?" And Ryan's like, 20 more minutes. And so now around our house, whenever Ryan came over, we were like, 20 more minutes, you know. I think the other night at my Christmas Eve party, he told my son, 20 more minutes. life well lived. The verse that Chris alluded to, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. You know, Otis said it best. He took his last breath here and his first breath in heaven. John 17:3 says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. These were his favorite, at least Wednesday night basketball shoes. And usually, he wore them with jeans. I don't know if I ever saw him wear these with shorts. I know he wore them with jeans when he played basketball on Wednesday nights. A lot of epic battles here in basketball that you guys will never see, but we had a lot of fun doing it. The shoes of a man who lived life well. So the question for you is, how has God touched your life through Ryan? These shoes need to represent this. What is your next step towards God? Wherever you're at, what is your next step to move towards God? Something Ryan said every once in a while. Bold move, Cotton. Bold move, Cotton. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Bold move, it's time. Will you draw near to God in this time? Will you take what Ryan taught you, the life he lived, how he loved you, and will you take the next step in your life? Hebrews 11 says this, without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I implore you, as Brandon did, that if you don't know Jesus, Ryan was living proof that Jesus is real and that he changed his life. And if you know Jesus, will you reach the unreached? Will you take that next step? Will you be bold? Will you love well? Will you do it in humility? Will you enjoy life? And if you do those, you'll learn something. You'll grow. You move closer to God. I know some things that God's already working in my heart. It's going to be different than you. I'm not asking you to fill his shoes. I'm saying take the next step individually, because then we multiply who Ryan is. And we love well. And we walk in humbleness. We walk in boldness. And we show off who Jesus is. We're going to miss Ryan. Walking through these doors won't be the same thing. Wednesday night, Monday night, there'll be a hole in our heart. And I guarantee you that all of us are going to try to jack up some crazy three-pointer next time we play. Ryan, live life well.
Tremble, Jesus, Jesus.
About Ryan's life, and for those of you who did not know him, to understand a little bit why he was so special to so many people. You did a great job, each of you, and thank you, family, for the songs that you chose to sing today and honor him, and songs that were special to him. I don't drink, and I don't chew, and I don't go with girls who do. Somebody said that to a friend one day who doesn't go to church, and the friend said back, well, what do you do? You know, sometimes we may have the misconception and even the deception that when you become a Christian, you're prohibited from having fun. You've not heard today what Ryan didn't do. What you have heard is what Ryan did do and what made him so special to you and to this family. And he has been honored today in that, and rightfully so. The Bible says, give honor, and to whom honor is due. Let another man praise thee. And so thank you for sharing in the service, guys. And many others have done that as well. Not in this service, but in your own special way. And you've honored him. I want to share a couple other thoughts rather than focusing on Ryan today. That's why we wanted them to honor him first. I want to talk about how do you go on. for some of us, for some of you, you know, it hurts today, and in a week or so you're going to be back to your life. But for others, it's not that way. It's something that doesn't change. I have never talked to a parent who's lost a child who's not told me, I think about them every day. And some of you have been there. And I've been at other services sitting beside you when we've honored other young people from Stanton River in this community who have passed away in car accidents and other tragedies. So is there hope for the future? Is there some type of light at the end of that dark tunnel that can give us joy and peace again? I don't know that there's a pain as bad as when your child's hurting and you can't do anything about it. You just have to endure it, and you want to take that pain for them. I think that's the scene that took place in John chapter 19. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was on Golgotha. And there before her was her son. And she couldn't do anything about it. He was being crucified. She remembered the angel telling her about her conception and he was going to be the Messiah of Israel. She had seen, as we've talked about in the last few weeks, she had seen the shepherds and later the wise men come and adore him to affirm that surely he was the Son of God. She had watched him grow up and live a life at home and help people through his carpenter skills. She was excited and pleased when he entered public ministry and began to heal people and teach and even raise the dead. That was her son. But even more than that, that was God. But things are different on this day. On this day, she stood at Golgotha and she was pierced with the words from her son, "Woman, behold thy son." Who wants to do that? She had to be thinking, this is not fair. Why do we have to go? He didn't do anything to anybody. He helped people. He loved people. He brought joy back into families that were hurting. And now this. How would she get through that time? He had told the disciples, and no doubt she had heard him say, that he was going to Jerusalem to die. He was going to pay for our sin debt on the cross. He had said he was going to resurrect from the dead, but you know, sometimes we know the truth, but it just doesn't sink in. And we just don't take it to heart. I can't imagine hearing the people in the crowd laughing at her son, scoffing. He saved others. Why can't he come down and save himself? She watched as the soldiers gambled for his garments. How that must have hurt. It had to be the darkest day of her life. If there was any good in that day for her, maybe it was when Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea came and took the body of Jesus down. And at least he had a proper burial. Maybe she could find some solace in that. I don't know what it was like Friday night for her. I doubt she slept. I'm sure she couldn't eat. I don't know that Saturday was much better as she was dealing with the shock and the numbness that comes when your son passes away. And if you've not been there, you can't know. But Saturday was tough. And the Bible doesn't tell us how it came about. Maybe some of the ladies said, we just got to do something. We just got to do something. And they decided they were going to take some ointment and some perfume and anoint his body. That was a custom of that day. That had already happened, but you want to do something. Mom wants to do something. As far as we know, Joseph had passed away and Jesus had committed the care of his mom into the hands of John. They got up early Sunday morning, not even thinking about, there's going to be guards there, and how are we going to move that stone? All they knew is we want to be near him. We want to do something. We want to honor him. And so early Sunday morning, they made their way to the tomb. Maybe their hearts were gladdened just a little bit when they saw the soldiers were gone. That problem seemed to have taken care of itself. And the stone, it was rolled away. They were going to be able to get in. We're going to be able to go in and anoint him. And they looked in, and as we know, he was not there. You got to be filled with shock not to recognize the angels that were in there. That was the last thing on their mind. All Mary could think was pain upon pain. They've not only crucified my son, but now they've stolen his body, and I'll never see him again. Some of the other ladies who had gone with her to the tomb began to leave. They saw what they thought, if you know the story, was a gardener. But it wasn't a gardener. It was our risen Lord. And she said, "Sir, could you please tell me where they've taken my son?" And he said, "Mary." She had heard those words before. She knew this was her son. And her life changed. And the grief dissipated. And the joy filled her heart. I heard a title of a message years ago. I've never forgotten it, and God brought it to my mind this week. It was entitled, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." For this family, I don't know if it's Friday for you. I don't know if it's Saturday morning or Saturday night. But upon the authority of God's word, Sunday's coming. And I don't know if Sunday's tomorrow or Sunday's next week or next year or decade away. I don't know when it is. But when she heard the words of Jesus, the truth that she had forgotten about rang true in her heart. So to the family, when you're crying at night and when you're looking at things that remind you of your son and you're not sure how you're going to face the next day, just remember it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. When you go back to work and they say, "Oh, that's the bread man," and you're not sure you can talk to anybody else, and there's the support group at Martin Travel that care about you and love you and want to do something, and there's times that you're just overcome with memories, it's Friday, and Sunday's coming. When you go to church, and you're like, I appreciate you loving on me, but give me some space here. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And not just for this family. You may be going through issues in your life. You may be dealing with a divorce, or you might be dealing with wayward kids, or you may have financial issues, and you don't know how you're going to get through it. I'm telling you, a relationship with Jesus Christ and a walk with him will give you hope where there is no hope. It'll give you assurance where there is no assurance. And you'll only know it if you experience it. And that comes with a relationship with Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "I pass on to you what was most important, and what also has been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture says." Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about resurrection, and I want to come back and make another point in just a moment. You've heard people say Ryan's with the Lord today, and I believe he is, but not because of what he did for God, but because of what God did for him. And that was the cross. None of us deserve heaven. I've heard people say, "Well, if anybody's in heaven, I know my grandma was." No, she's not there because you thought she was a good woman. And she could have been. But the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. There's none of us, Ryan included, that deserve to go to heaven because of what we do. And that's why Christ came and died on the cross. And when the mother of Jesus watched him die, he was doing it for you and he was doing it for me. He was taking our hell so that we could be saved. And so when the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, that's what he says. I want you to know that Christ died according to the Scripture, and he raised again according to the Scripture, and our salvation is in him. You're not saved because he died, but you can be saved because he died if you'll give your heart to Jesus Christ. But that's not an easy decision, to give your heart to God. I mean, for the Christian, you think it is, but when you're wrestling with that decision in your heart, you would think the brothers of Jesus would have been Christians. You think watching his life, it would have been such a conviction to them that they would have not just known him as their brother, but they would have received him as their Lord. John chapter 7, verse 5, it says, "For even his own brothers didn't believe in him." I mean, we like Jesus and all. He's a good guy, but God? Come on. And they would sarcastically say things the Scripture say to him about going up to the festival and other things. After the resurrection, it says that Jesus appeared to different people. And there's a passage in 1 Corinthians. Let me read it. It says, "He was seen by Peter, the resurrection, and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 followers at one time. Most of them that are still alive, though some have died. And then he was seen by James and the other apostles." Not James the apostle. James his brother. Jesus sought out James. "Hey, bro." He realized that he was the Messiah, not just his brother. And after the resurrection of Christ, James got saved. He became the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. Who would have thought it? A guy in his 20s. I'm guessing. I think Christ was 33, so James probably in his mid to late 20s. If you have your Bibles, you can look in a book that he wrote, the book of James. God changed James' life in his mid-20s. And then Jesus said, "James, I'll be back. I got to go find Jude, the other brother." And he talked to Jude, and Jude wasn't a believer. And Jude came to faith in Christ. You can read his book in the New Testament as well. Two of his brothers wrote books in the New Testament after they were past their teenage years, into their 20s. God changed their lives when they gave their heart to him, not as their brother, but as their Lord and Savior. I was sharing with some people today and yesterday that at our church and our youth program, once you graduate, there's not a lot that goes on here as far as activities and so forth, but Ryan had that desire to be with the guys. And you think we're kidding about his shot. You've heard it mentioned time. It was ugly. I mean, we're not just saying that for humor. It was ugly. But he perfected it. And so he would meet with guys. And a lot of you guys are here today. And you honored him this week when you did the news interview. And I watched that. And I'm sure he'd have been proud of that. But I don't know where you guys are. I don't know where some of you family members are. I don't know other guests. I mean, there's a lot of people who I've never met before. But maybe you're like Jesus' brothers. Not the resurrection of Christ, but the impact of Ryan on your life has made you think about your relationship with Christ. Chris gave me this. I'm not even sure who wrote it. One of the young people texted. I don't know if he texted you, Chris, or did he text you? "My heart is heavy, but God's timing is perfect. It's been a wake-up call for me to start living for Jesus." It's what you want. You want your life to impact others. We want us to do it in life, but sometimes it happens in death. And I don't know where you are in your relationship with Christ. We've tried to honor Ryan's life today. We've talked about hope that we have in Christ, that it's Friday and Sunday's coming. But Otis and Michelle both have said to me, make sure you give an invitation. I had a friend that I went to school with that I used to go pick up and bring to church. And he had grown up in church. He didn't know the Christian vocabulary. He said, I go to funerals sometimes and all they do is recruit. He got saved, and then he was sort of for recruiting then after that. But I don't know where you are, but I know where you need to be. We don't know what this week's going to hold. We could be back here next week. God forbid that that would happen. But we don't know, right? We don't know. We didn't think we'd be here last week. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You want to honor Ryan? Let his life be an influence on you. If you're not living for the Lord, if you've been out of church or you're a Christian and you've not been in the Word and there's things in your life that hadn't been honoring God, don't wait to make that decision for Christ. Now, let me tell you how we're going to close the service and what we're going to be doing later on. I've made up some cards that are in the back and you can pick one up. It was the picture that I think one of my favorite pictures of Ryan. I guess this is probably, I don't know if it was taken at Piedmont or where it was, maybe one of the games. Where was it? At Wake Forest. It simply has his name on it, and it says, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And so they'll be on the back, and just pick one up so everybody will have one. If you're church members, you can get one next week, you know, so that way everybody have a chance to get one. Maybe just keep that with you. And when you go through your hard times, and you're not sure you can make it through the next day, just remember it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. One last thing that I think would honor the family is we've got some decision cards. They'll be in the back as well. Maybe God's been challenging you, maybe as a teenager, maybe as a young person, maybe as an adult. And you thought, you know, I need to love my kids more than I do. I need to spend more time with them. I need to get in the Word. I need to give my life to Christ. Whatever. I don't know what God's speaking to your heart about. But these are back there, and I would encourage you to pick one up if God has been challenging you through Ryan's life and even his death to do some things. And you can just hand those to me sometime or leave them on that back table. What I'd like to do is follow up with you, but especially I'd like to give this to the family. Let them see a little bit of how Ryan impacted your life. Maybe there's some memories you want to put on the back, you know. As you can see, we're in no rush today. Now, we're going to go, in just a few moments, I'm going to pray. We're going to go over to the cemetery for the burial, for the commitment time. And then they're going to put off fireworks. I have never seen that done before. And it even scares me to think that we're going to do it. Things that they were talking about on Christmas Eve, I think you guys said they were there. I often hear people say, well, you know, if so-and-so is here, I know what they would say. No, you don't know what they would say. But I think I know what Ryan would say. Don't let Daniel be in charge of the fireworks. Well, we're going to honor that, Ryan. And as far as you can get away from the fireworks, Daniel, we'd appreciate if you'd do that. If you don't know that story, like either Brandon or Chris said, we're not telling you. If you know it, you know it. After the grave, the people of our church and other people have brought food. While we're there, they're going to be setting up tables here, and we would invite you to come back to be with the family for a meal here in the Family Life Center. And then we're going to do one other thing that is sort of unique at a funeral service. And if you want to participate in, that'll be open to you. All of you won't be able to do that, I'm sure, with time commitments and other schedule issues you have. But after the meal, and we'll announce it, we're going to go over to the sanctuary and share in communion. That was something that was special to Ryan and to Jenna, and something they were going to do. And so we wanted to honor them in that way and do that. But more than just having communion, it might be a time for a fresh beginning for you. A time maybe you can fill out these cards. And I mean, the only hope we can give you guys today is because of Jesus Christ. What else do you have to offer than the truth of the Word of God, that this is not the end, that we'll see our loved ones again? So we would invite you, if you want to share in that after the meal, we'll announce when that is. But thank you for coming. And thank you for the things that you've done and for supporting this family. And they're going to need that, not in the next day or two or not in the next week. They're going to need it for years to come. But I think God's going to do some great things, even in the midst of heartache and pain. Let me pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this service. And we want to honor Ryan's life today. And we feel that to some small extent, we've done that. But even beyond that, we want to realize that there's hope and comfort in Jesus Christ, and that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and that even when we don't know what we're facing, you already know. And I pray that you'll continue to order the circumstances in this family's life and the extended family and friends to give them the hope and the encouragement and the desire to honor you in their lives. Father, if there are those here today, and I'm sure there are, I mean, all of us have been challenged, that need to renew our commitment to Christ or get in church or get in the Word or give our life to Christ as a testimony to the role model that Ryan lived before us. Help us not to put that decision off. If there's anything we should learn, don't put anything off. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if God's speaking to your heart, be obedient to Him. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Let me